Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. I'm Mike Minotti representing the East Coast, and joining me is my brother Ajguy representing the West Coast. How's it going, Ajguy?
It is going well here in sunny LA. How is the rain of Ohio?
I don't know. I'm inside playing games all day.
That sounds right. About right.
This is our first podcast, right?
It is number one. It's very
you
exciting.
You have wanted me to do this for a very long time.
I've wanted you to do this for a little over a year now.
And I never wanted to.
Yep, and why do you suddenly want to do it now, Mike?
Self-marketing.
Figures.
I just want to get my name out there.
It's all selfish.
Well, yeah.
All right, so what are we doing?
Well, first we're going to open up with news, and I think you've got that all covered.
I do indeed.
Then we're going to go into a little segment called The Best Ever. That's where we discuss the best, you know, something ever, best genre ever, best game in a series, best game on a platform, anything like that. Then we got Our Week in Gaming. That's where we talk about what games we've been playing, that kind of thing. Then we're going to look at all the downloadable games that came out, anything on the PSN network, on Xbox Live Arcade, or on Virtual Console. Then we look at the weekly releases for, starting next Monday, and that'll be the whole show.
Very exciting.
It's not that exciting, but you can start with the news now.
All right, news. Well, we have a lot of news because, as I'm sure you and our listeners are well aware, this week was the Leipzig Game Convention in Germany.
Is it really Leipzig?
Leipzig. I don't know
I've always been pronouncing it Leipzig.
It could be. I don't speak German. Anyway, this event...
I'm taking German next semester?
Then you should probably learn.
Okay.
Anyway,
go ahead, sorry.
This event is it's kind of like the European E3. There are days set aside just for the press, but then unlike the E3 of the past, and this one too, it opens up to the public.
So what you meant to say is that it's kind of like the European Tokyo Game Show.
Yes, that's actually more correct.
Yes, I thought so.
So we had a bunch of stuff coming out of this thing. The first, probably most exciting for the majority of gamers out there, was the reveal of a brand new Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer.
Did you see that?
I did see it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay, so the first half of the trailer was exactly the same as the first half of the E3 trailer, except it had German subtitles. But then we got into the new part of the trailer, which revealed Hideo Kojima's concept of Beauty and the Beast for Metal Gear Solid 4. We introduced four new boss characters, and they are named as follows. You have Screaming Mantis, Laughing Octopus, Raging Raven, and Crying Wolf. Apparently, these are four beautiful women from four different parts of the Earth who have become so traumatized by war that they had no choice but to become part of war in these grotesque beast-like machines.
And they kick ass.
They do. But they also live up to their names, because Laughing Octopus just keeps asking if everything's funny. Raging Raven flies around screaming rage. So, you know, he picked good names for them, I guess.
But what do you think the connection is to, like, the Metal Gear Solid 1 bosses with all of that?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people picked up on.
You think it's just a name thing?
Honestly, I have no idea. It probably is just kind of... Maybe it is just to tie it into Metal Gear Solid, because...
I hope there's a reason. I hope there's just, you know, not a coincidence.
Yeah. Well, then, Kojima at his conference was teasing as to whether or not these beasts could be returned to their human form, and was going on how we'll have to find out when we play the game. But since he actually cast four real-world actresses to not only give the voices but their likenesses to these characters, and then he showed some avant-garde video, looked like a student film or something, of the digitization process, I'm guessing they're going to show up in the game somehow. So we'll get to see that. And according to it, a multi-worldwide release early 2008.
I'll be there.
I still need to play the third one.
Yeah, you haven't played the third one.
Yeah.
You did play it, and then you were bored, and didn't want to play it anymore.
I need to give it another chance. I promise I'll play it before the fourth one comes
out.
Yeah,
you know what? I don't think you deserve another chance.
Yeah. Anyway.
You're not good enough. Okay, go ahead.
Going on to music games, Rock Band has some new songs announced. These are all master tracks. We have Highway Star by Deep Purple.
Hey, that song is in Leap Beat Agents.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Good song. You got Epic from Faith No More. Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet. Creep by Radiohead. Here It Goes Again by OK Go. Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. Should I Stay or Should I Go by The Clash. The Hand That Feeds by Nine Inch Nails. Gimme Shelter by The Rolling Stones. Cherub Rock by Smashing Pumpkins. And Blitzkrieg Bop from The Ramones, which is actually replacing the previously announced Rockaway Beach. And that song apparently is going to be downloadable content later down the road. Why, I do not know.
Okay.
So, are you excited?
No, not really.
Yeah. It's like this with all these Guitar Hero games. Like, I know these songs, but if I had to pick like the songs from these bands I want to play, these are not those songs.
Guitar Hero 3 has the better Rolling Stones song.
Well,
it has Paint It Black.
This is true. But also announced at the show, interesting, was a PS2 version of Rock Band. However, so far it's only confirmed for Europe. Do you think that's going to come to America?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would it only go to Europe?
That's all they've said so far.
Well,
that's
because the convention's in Europe. They want them to feel special for a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly. So, I mean,
like,
I'm
hey,
sure it's
maybe this will
here.
Only be for us. The developers do care about Europe. No, they don't.
No, they don't. So, speaking of Guitar Hero 3, that had some new songs announced at the show as well. We've got Minus Celsius by Backyard Babies.
Bad.
Here Kommt Alex by Die Toten Hosen.
Never
In the Belly
it.
Of a Shark by Gallows. I'm in the Band by the Helicopters. Avalancha by Heroes del Silencio. Take This Life by In Flames. Ruby by Kaiser Chiefs. Excuse me. Closer by Lacuna Coil. Generation Rock by Revolverhead. Movis Garçon by Nast. And Radio Song by Superbus.
Whatever.
Yeah. Also, a demo for Guitar Hero 3 will be coming. Are
With
you excited
Tony Hawk.
For that? Yeah. Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, now otherwise known as the Next Zone of Enders, comes out October 9th and will include a 5-track demo of Guitar Hero 3. Those tracks are Lay Down by Priestess, Even Flow by Pearl Jam, The Metal by Tenacious D, Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar, and Rock You Like a Hurricane by The Scorpions.
Okay. Wait a second, couple things. First off, did you insinuate that Metal Gear Solid 2 is similar to Guitar Hero 3?
No, but...
Because it's on the same level.
Did anybody buy Zone of Enders for Zone of Enders?
No, but people are going to buy Tony Hawk for Tony Hawk.
True. But still, a lot of people that wouldn't have bought Tony Hawk are going to not buy it. Now, even though this demo comes out with Tony Hawk on the 9th, it will come to the marketplace on the 23rd. So if you can wait 2 weeks, you can just download it. But since
I might
you,
get the Tony Hawk game anyways.
Because you imported Mario Sunshine a month early. I think you're going to buy Tony Hawk.
And I got to beat it 10 days before it came out in America.
Good for you.
Suck it, everyone. Suck it.
And this so far has only been confirmed for the 360 version of Tony Hawk. Although I wouldn't see why they wouldn't, but they haven't said anything about a PlayStation 3 demo. Yeah. But I'm sure that's coming. So, moving on, we've got just an interesting little tidbit from the show. They showed FIFA 08 from EA Sports at the show, and just to kind of shut everybody up, it does run 60 frames per second on the 360 and the PlayStation 3.
I forget, which soccer game's the good one? Is that FIFA or Winning 11?
Winning 11 is, I guess, considered the better one, but FIFA's been apparently getting better in years. I don't play soccer games, do you?
I played Mega Man Soccer. That was
awesome.
I had a team of like nothing but Snake Man and Iceman.
Yeah, because he kicked the ball, turned to a snake, and just slithered into the goal.
Right. It was cheap and awesome.
Yes.
And I also played Sega Soccer Slam on the GameCube.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was a
with the Scottish guys.
Well, there's only one Scottish guy.
Oh, yeah, there was just like the racial stereotypes.
Yeah.
Why can't more games be like that?
There are. The Streets games are kind of like those.
Well, there's just one racial stereotype.
Yeah.
So anyway, we now have our good friend Dennis Dyack and his one console future.
I don't like Dennis Dyack. So.
I don't either. Well, this is what he says. What I am going to try to do is give insight to historical trends that I think will shed a light on where we're going with the industry. Now, do you remember the 3DO?
Yeah, we had two.
Yeah. Do you know why the 3DO failed? It wasn't from lack of our help.
Yeah. No, why did 3DO fail? Tell
well, here,
me.
Because...
I know, was it because it was expensive and didn't have any good games?
Well, the reason the console was expensive is, as you know, all consoles are sold at a loss except the Wii, but that's because it's just a GameCube. Anyway, then the whole idea is that you make your money back on software.
Yes. Well,
what 3DO is trying to do was they had the idea that they would license the console out to different companies to make their own, just as different companies make DVD players. And then that
Is that why there was a Panasonic version?
That's why
it was
the Panasonic. There was supposed to be like a Mitsubishi one that never happened. And
there was another one that wasn't Panasonic. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. So, and that's why the 3DO cost like $700, because these people, they didn't have software. They needed to make the money. And this is why you will never see a one console future, because consoles are too expensive. They need to be sold at a loss so that they're viable in the marketplace, but the software needs to come from the companies that make the consoles. And so it's just not going to happen. Unless somehow, like, Microsoft gives up or Sony gives up or something, but they're never going to, like, just get together and be like, yeah, we'll make the same thing and sell it to other people to make.
I think a no-console future is much more likely than a one-console future.
Yeah, but even that's not going to happen.
Okay.
And we got one final news item from Leipzig. This was my favorite. The reveal of the Team Fortress 2 Meet the Soldier video.
I met him. He's a nice guy.
How good is it?
It's awesome.
How good
Well,
is it?
I just worry about how... It's funny. It looks really good. I just wonder how representative it is of the actual gameplay.
Yeah, that's what I'm dying to find out, too. Because, like, you watch that trailer, and you've got, like, people shouting, like, to the left. He turns, shoots a guy. The scout's behind a barricade. He's, like, sentry up there. And then he goes and gets, like... If you could actually, in the game, have that kind of stuff going on, then it will be the best game ever.
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think? You think we'll get the medic trailer soon?
If I had to guess which one was next, I'd say, yeah, either medic or probably Demo Man.
Okay.
Hopefully we get all nine.
Well, I'd imagine. Awesome. That's the point.
Yes. Are there nine guys?
Is that yeah, let's just say nine. I'm not going to count right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, nine. Someone will correct us.
Anyway. I don't think they will.
So that's it for Leipzig, but there's still other stuff going on. This one was interesting to me. I don't know how much you'll care, but the Sidewinder brand is returned.
Oh, boy.
Woo! Microsoft is resurrecting the Sidewinder brand of gaming peripherals, starting off with a new gaming mouse, which has all kind of crazy features.
Does it have mouse buttons?
It does.
Oh, my
God. It has,
God.
Like, six of
does
them.
Does it move a pointer on your computer screen?
It does.
Man. You're so gay.
It's crazy. No, listen to this. Okay. So we've got, you can instantly switch between your DPI settings using an LCD screen built into the side of the mouse. You can choose different weights to slide into the mouse. You can affect it up to 30 grams. It comes with different... Hey, some people care about this, okay? Just because you have, like, the same mouse from 5 years ago.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Come on, it's sweet. Because then, look, you get three set of feet to match gameplay preference. You can just snap them onto the bottom to affect how it slides. And this one, I don't get this. Stop laughing. I don't get this one.
I'm not laughing anymore. It's not funny anymore. Depending on the game type, you want to change the weight of your mouse.
Yes. Some people like their mice a little heavier.
Tell me, what genre would require, like, a heavier mouse, if you would?
Like a first-person shooter, where you're moving it around very rapidly, you don't want to accidentally lift it.
Okay. And why isn't the mouse sensitivity, like, option good enough for you?
Because some people like to adjust it whether they're sniping or not.
So wait, are you telling me people are going to be, like, they'll be, like, playing, and then, like, they'll go into sniping, and then they'll add and subtract weights to their mouse. And then
No. That's for the sensitivity. They're not going to adjust the weight on the fly.
Okay, continue. Just
the last one. Here, see if you understand this. It's kind of. I'll read it as it was in the press release.
Oh,
turn
baby.
On a dime. The new quick turn feature, a performance-enhancing macro, is built right into the software and lets users check their perimeter at any angle from wherever they are in the game with the click of a button. I don't get it.
Sounds like mouse look to me.
Yeah. It makes it sound like there's like a button you could push that just spins, like it emulates moving the mouse so you turn around.
Maybe it's just a 90-degree turn, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, you don't care. Probably don't a lot care. Of people don't care. I like Sidewinder stuff. No one cared. I had all that stuff when I was younger. All right, so BioShock came out. How much do you love it?
I really like BioShock.
I like BioShock, too, and that's because I'm playing it on the 360. Apparently, people on the PC ain't so happy about it.
Oh, that's right. It's not working or something, right?
No, well...
Am I blowing your news?
No. Well, yeah. You're just saying what I'm about to say.
Okay.
We have two issues with the game. Actually, the first one does affect 360 users, but it's not too bad.
With that widescreen thing?
There was debate about the widescreen. Apparently, people were comparing screenshots of the game in 4x3 and 16x9. And they noticed the 16x9 was cutting stuff off from the top and bottom of the screen rather than adding to the sides. Ken Levine said he'd get onto it, and then 2K Boston released something on their forums explaining the whole situation. Basically, they took their widescreen image, and instead of chopping off the sides for 4x3 users, they actually added to the top and bottom. Like, the Finding Nemo DVD did this. Usually stuff cuts off, but they actually added for the 4x3. They claim that the game was still designed for widescreen. What you're seeing on widescreen, there's nothing being omitted that they didn't intend to be there. That's the way they designed the game. The 4x3 gamers are just getting something a little extra. And apparently people are pissed off because they feel that's not how... Like, the widescreen's supposed to be getting extra. And people are upset that they can't see the guy's sleeve. Do you
Whatever.
Care?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
this is like... Like, eating the best steak of your life and then complaining that, like, there was, like, a few too many bits of pepper on it or something. I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now, this one's a little more substantial.
Well, the fact that the game won't run?
Yes.
You can't install it?
There are several copy protections. It uses, on the PC, a system called Secure ROM to, instead of using, like, a CD key, it's actually kind of like Windows itself, where you get a license to install the game. Originally, the way it worked was, after you installed the game twice, that was it. You weren't allowed to install it anymore. And I don't know how people, like, why they're installing it more than twice, like, 2 days after the game came out, but apparently they were, and they were pissed off about this. 2K Boston tried to explain by saying that if you properly uninstall the game, it gives you back your license. So, like, if you're going to reformat your hard drive, you need to uninstall the game, then reformat, then reinstall, and you'll be good to go. Then some people said they did do that, and it doesn't work all the time. So finally, 2K Boston, just this day, said that they upped the number of licenses from 2 to 5. So if you need to install it more than 5 times, you're doing something wrong. This just goes back to what I always say, use Steam, because Steam is the best thing ever.
Ever?
Ever.
I do enjoy Hot Pockets.
Not that Steam, you idiot.
No, I mean best thing ever.
Oh,
God.
Like, what? Oh, Steam cooks a Hot Pocket. Anyway,
that
I mean,
was
like,
retarded.
If a PC game comes out and it's on Steam, buy it on Steam. Because then you don't have to reinstall it. You just log into a computer, download it, and you go. Right?
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I haven't played, like, a PC game in a long time.
True.
Although, yeah. PC gaming, it's dead.
No, it's not.
Yeah, whatever, go on.
Yeah. Speaking of PC gaming not being dead, there was a new StarCraft patch released. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, boy. PC gaming's not dead. People are still playing games from 1998.
Yep.
That's how much it's thriving.
Oh, and they're great, too. Nothing earth-shaking. It's just a few little minor tweaks, and they are as follows. They made stability improvements to replay saving code, fixed a bug where the map download progress is not shown. Pressing Alt-4 while in StarCraft and logged into a league now logs you out of the league. Updated some of the localization for the league page. And fixed an exploit that allows nukes to fall anywhere on the map. So nothing really game-changing, just a few little fixes. I mean, they're working on StarCraft 2. This was probably more than anything just something to get people like back into StarCraft and then ready for StarCraft 2.
Yeah, I can't believe they would possibly make a patch right now for StarCraft.
They released a Diablo 2 patch like a year ago.
Why?
A pretty substantial one. People still play those games.
Well, yeah, I know, but, like, patches, like, fix things? What could possibly be broken at this point?
There's, apparently, still stuff. So we have our last news item of the day. This is actually pretty cool stuff.
Okay.
There is a new thing out for the PSP called Pandora's Battery. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Okay, this is crazy. a bunch of PSP hackers have been working in secret for over a year on the Prometheus project. So, I mean, right away, it just conjures images of guys in, like, a volcano lair programming.
Yeah, that sounds much more epic than I'm sure it is.
See? So, apparently what they did is they found a way to write a program. You run it on a PSP that could run Homebrew, and it will turn that PSP's battery into this kind of weird Uber battery. And then, like, you can't use it for regular use anymore. But then you take that battery. You could put it in any PSP that has any firmware, including a PSP that may have been bricked by a botched attempt at downgrading or something like that. Mm-hmm. You put in this battery, and you put in a certain program on the memory stick, boot it up, and the battery causes it to read the thing on the memory stick and load in the 1.5 original firmware. And because this is, like, actually something hard-lined into the way the battery works, there's basically nothing Sony can do to ever, like, write this out with a patch. So the hackers have won. Woo.
They always do in the end.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never understood. Like, I guess Sony needs to stop this because there's a potential to run illegally acquired programs on the PSP. But seriously, for the first year and a half of my PSP, all I used it for was, like, to play, like, scum adventure games. Because, like, there were no games for it. There still really aren't that many games for it. They're coming, finally, but not really.
Well, what's coming? We've got Chain of Olympus and then a remake of
Final Fantasy Tactics. You've got the Star Wars Battlefront might be good. Well, it might suck.
Crisis Core,
that's going to be good. So, I mean, the PSP is getting ready to go.
Dirge of Cerberus is pretty terrible.
Yeah. Now, the interesting thing, too, is this was not supposed to be released yet. They were going to wait till the PSP 2000s came out, but they don't know if someone hacked them or if one of the programmers leaked it on purpose. Yeah, the hackers got hacked. But somehow this leaked out early, and people were selling it. And so they didn't want that happening, so they said just release it early so people can no longer sell it.
Okay.
So I don't have an extra PSP battery or a PSP that could run Homebrew because I updated mine because I wanted to use a remote play. But if you did, you could do that.
All right.
And that's the news.
Okay. And now we're going to move to the best ever. Add echo effects and stuff.
Woo!
Okay.
All right.
All right. You have no idea what this week's best ever will be, right?
As I never shall, I guess, right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the point.
Lay it on me.
Okay, this week it is the best FPS ever.
You jerk.
Why am I a jerk?
Okay.
You know my answer.
Your answer is probably similar to my answer. Like, you're going to say Half-Life 2.
Right.
Yes. And I would say Half-Life 2.
You would.
But I'm playing Bioshock right now.
Oh.
And Bioshock might be better.
It might be.
It might be better. Because, I mean, you gotta, like, I mean, Half-Life 2, absolutely amazing game. For, like, it took the kind of immersive storytelling that Half-Life 1 created and just kicked it to 11. It was the first game to create, like, in my opinion, really believable characters that I really cared about, that I felt like I had some kind of some relationship with.
Was that the first time that happened to you?
Well,
Half-Life 2?
Maybe. I mean, I always had characters I liked. Like, more, like, you know, like you'd like a character when you're watching a movie. But these were the first characters that I actually cared about. Like, you know, like when you're fighting with Barney or something, you're, like, checking to make sure he's okay and stuff like that. Not because you, like, I need him to fight with me. I want to make sure he's okay.
Okay.
And then, I mean, just the stuff it did with a gravity gun and how it showed you can play with your environment. Just, I mean, it was unheard of and it was so well done. And I can't believe it took until Bioshock came out for anyone to even come close to replicating that.
Well, it's almost angering how long it took for somebody to replicate that.
I know. It's like, Half-Life 1 got a hajillion Game of the Year awards. The next game to kind of replicate that was Half-Life 2. Like, no one thought it might be a good idea. Like people will not, for whatever reason, are not willing to do the never pull the camera out of first person. They're not willing to have a protagonist that doesn't speak. I mean, even the guy in Bioshock, he's pretty quiet, but there is that very first line in the game where he talks, and it's like, well, why'd they do that?
That might be the one thing about Bioshock, though. Like, Half-Life 2, I love how there's, like, never a moment where you can't look around. The story is always told in first person in-game. Bioshock is 99% that, but there have been just a couple of scenes where they take that control away from me. And, like, when it's happening, I'm just like, you know, I could just be looking around right now. I mean, there's a specific part where, like, let's just say that the game does an action for you that I'm not going to spoil. It's a pretty big spoiler. But they could have had the player do that action. It would have been 100 times more satisfying.
I don't think I've gotten there yet.
No, you haven't. Trust
okay.
me. Ooh, but people, if they got there, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Right. But see, but the thing that Bioshock does that I think makes it better than Half-Life 2 is, I mean, just like as Half-Life 2 created this amazing world, Bioshock has created this really amazing world that I think I like better just because I'm a sucker for that whole 50s Art Deco with, like, the music and everything that goes with it. It's just
right.
so cool, and it's so well done. And you would think there would, like, I mean, Half-Life 2 has the advantage that it's in these open areas, and you could go from, like, the city to, like, the beaches to, like, the mountains and stuff, and you can get that variety. And Bioshock, you, like, the fear was that there'd be no variety because you're stuck in a city at the bottom of the ocean, but every area is so distinct from each other that, like, it's just incredible how they pulled off that much variety in such, like, a confined setting.
No, yeah, my favorite part about both games is environment. And Bioshock has a cooler environment, but I think Half-Life 2 has the more interactive environment.
See, I don't know. I mean, like, you say that because you get the gravity gun, you could turn anything into a weapon, but you have...
But even before that, you could pick stuff up.
Yeah, but you get the telekinesis plasmid in Bioshock.
It's not the same. You can't pick up everything or even near everything.
Yeah, but I mean, but the thing is, this game, you don't need to in this game.
No, it's not it's not designed for that, and
it's not like you walk around missing it, like, oh, why can't I pick up this chair? Like, it doesn't bother me. But just, like, the way that you can... Like, I mean, definitely the way water interacts or anything. Like, my favorite combo in the game is I always walk around with my incinerator plasmid loaded. I light a guy on fire, and then if he's going to run towards water to put himself out, I switch my electric plasmid, he jumps in, I zap him, he's done. And, I mean, just, like, the way you can set up stuff like that, the way you can set traps with a crossbow, make, like, so the guys clothesline themselves, which is always fun. And then how, if they set up those traps, again, you could use the telekinesis to move them around. I mean, just there's so much stuff you could do like that.
Yeah, there's more variety in the gameplay of Bioshock. Bioshock might be better. I don't know. I have a hard time saying that right now. I need to beat it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Half of 2 deserves credit for being first.
It does. This is very true. And I mean, like Half-Life 2. I mean, that was one of those monumental releases. Like, oh my God, it's finally happening because it was, you know, like we were wondering if it was going to happen. Then it got announced, and it got hacked, and then delayed. And then I remember, like, you know, preloading it on Steam, waking up, like, that day and just hitting activate and playing it right away. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
You know, I'm just realizing the similarities between Bioshock's Andrew Ryan and, Dr. Breen, was it, from Half-Life 2?
Yeah, in fact, you notice, I know how much you like the quote in Half-Life 2, he says.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
you want me to say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, give me a second. Tell me, Dr. Freeman, you destroyed so much. What exactly is it that you have created? Can you name even one thing? I didn't think so.
Very nice.
Thank you.
So you've got that quote, and then there was the time there's one part in Bioshock where as you're moving along, Andrew Ryan's talking on the walkie, and then he says something too, like you just come to my city and take from it. Have you created anything?
Yeah, I noticed that. I knew
you had to. As soon as I just heard today, and I was like, I know Mike heard this.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there are the similarities, but that's okay. They're still, I mean, they're different enough. They're not, like, the same guy.
If you're going to be similar to a first-person shooter, let it be Half-Life 2.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm glad this one released. I remember when Resistance was coming out, everyone was trying to say, oh, it's like Half-Life 2.
It pulled the camera out. That, right away, kills it. And there was no reason for that. Why didn't they just leave the camera in your head?
From what I played, Resistance story was very lame. It didn't need cutscenes.
Yeah, I couldn't get into that game myself.
I'm tired of FPSs where I just shoot things.
Exactly.
And that includes you, Halo.
We're finally beyond that.
Yes. I can't just... I mean, multiplayer, that's fine. Because, you know, it's competitive, whatever. But in a single-player campaign, where it's just cutscene... You go through this very linear level. You shoot things, and then you know another cutscene. You know it's the same thing over and over again.
It's
not fun anymore.
It's all about pacing, and that's another thing that both Bioshock and Half-Life 2 do so well. Like,
because well, you're in charge of your own pacing in a lot of ways.
Well, but then like, I mean, you are, but like, really, these games are like they're like roller coasters that both 2K Boston and Valve have very like strictly set up. Because I mean, yeah, you get the freedom to go check out like all the different rooms and stuff in BioShock and Half-Life 2, but you're essentially on a linear path.
Well, no, but, it's not Oblivion.
Yeah,
or anything
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
But it shouldn't
but,
be.
But like, if you listen to, they have the commentary in Half-Life 2 Episode 1, and one of the things, I can't remember who it was at Valve, but he referred to it as combat fatigue, where if you're in these high, tense, like, just shoot-em-up sequences for too long, you kind of get tired of them. You'll notice both games, they like, after you have a big gunfight, it takes it down, you get a chance to catch your breath, you look around the environment, you get some exposition in. Like, I mean, probably the best part of Half-Life 2 is the part where you're playing catch with Dog. And that's like nothing's even happening. But then like,
I don't know.
Right,
I might say that the best part is the last level.
Well, that too.
Super gravity gun.
No, that was pretty amazing, and it was blue.
Yes.
But then you know, and then but then as soon as that part's over, the next sequence is an assault on the base, and you gotta get your ass out of there. And all of a sudden, it picks back up again. And that's what that up and down motion of just the intensity in both games is what makes them not only good, but then like that's the reason you sit there and you play for like 8 hours, and you're like, oh, where'd the time go? Because you can just get lost in that rhythm.
Like I just did, because I just played Bioshock for like 4 straight hours,
yeah,
and I just
stopped
to do
this. Yeah, if it wasn't for this podcast, you'd still be playing it.
Yeah, I would be.
You
I might
be beating
it now, too. Okay, so let's move away from Half-Life 2 and Bioshock. What other first-person shooters have you really enjoyed throughout
the ones have I? Well, I really like Call of Duty 2 on the 360 for kind of the same reason of the pacing and just the kind of like, I mean, that game was basically a theme park ride. There was so much scripted stuff to it that some people like kind of fault the game for that, but I really enjoyed all that.
It's heavily scripted,
yes.
And it's fun, but it's not like, it's only fun to an extent. Like,
I mean,
sometimes I think those games get too flashy.
It wasn't a game that I played start to end in like the span of a week. It took me 3 months to beat it, but it was the kind of game like I could pick up every couple of days and play for an hour or two and have fun with it and really enjoy myself.
Fair enough. How about one that I really liked was Escape from Butcher Bay.
Yes.
What was that? Riddick? Yeah.
Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick Escape from Butcher Bay. Possibly the best movie licensed game ever.
Probably. Such a surprisingly good game.
It was phenomenal.
In my opinion, between Half-Life 2 and Bioshock, it was like one of the very few notable FPS games that was released.
Well, that game was good. I mean, first of all, the graphics at the time were absolutely gorgeous, and they still hold up pretty well.
Right.
It was the first game, in my opinion, to really get both first-person sneaking and first-person melee right.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Vin Diesel's performance in the game was pretty darn good.
Right. Plus, we had dialogue trees, which I always enjoy.
Yes.
Okay.
It was gambling, too, and all kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that game. It was also very well-paced.
Let me ask you this question. What was the first FPS you played that was like, it was less of just like a, like you just reloading it and playing through like the first level over and over, because it was like, oh, look, I'm in first person. It was the first game that you actually played.
Probably Half-Life 1.
Yeah. I'm sure that's probably the same, because I mean, like, I don't think I've ever, like, have you ever beaten Doom?
No. I can't get very far. I just bought Doom again, and I'm like, man.
But can you not find every single secret and enemy in the first, like, two levels?
Oh, I know that first level pretty well.
Yeah, because that's all you ever did as a kid. You just kept replaying that level.
Right. No, I remember when I was little, in Half-Life 1, like, the fact that you start the game, you're on that tram.
Yeah, and, there's, like nothing even going on.
For 15 minutes, you don't shoot a single thing. Maybe I'm mistaken. System Shock 2 did it, but I hadn't played it at that point.
Oh, that's
but that
a
was
good
like.
Game.
That was, like, unprecedented for me. The fact that, like, this game, like, actually cared about its presentation so much that, like, it had faith in itself to not just, like, let me shoot things right away. It
was amazing. System Shock 2, I'm glad. I almost forgot about that because System Shock 2, it's something that game did that carries into Bioshock, which I think is one of the most underrated things in game design. And this is also part of Call of Duty, is sound design. Because when you're playing System Shock, the things it did with voices coming at you from all over and just the ambience of just the sound alone was scarier than anything I'd ever seen in, like, a video game. Like, you didn't even need, like, graphics in that game. It was just all of the way the audio worked and just, I mean, it created just this mood. It's, like, comparable to watching Aliens, but in a video game. It was incredible how they could pull that off in 1999.
That's true. Okay, I think we got to wrap up the best ever.
Very nice.
Okay, so you, best FPS ever.
BioShock.
Name in a sentence.
BioShock.
BioShock?
I'm saying it right now. BioShock.
Jeez. All right, I'm saying Half-Life 2 still.
All right.
Respect your elders, even if it is just, what, 3 years old.
Well, I'm older than you.
But I don't know. Maybe BioShock has some time left.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I should reserve judgment until I finish BioShock, but I think based on what I've played, I gotta say BioShock.
I'll tell you what, though. There's something that just happened in the game. I don't think it would be a spoiler to say that, you know, there was the twist. That was pretty awesome.
I do love the twist.
Yes, it was a good twist. Okay. Now let's move on to our week in gaming. And we talked about BioShock enough.
Yes, we talked a lot about BioShock.
Clearly we've been playing a lot about BioShock. What I've been playing that is pretty interesting, and I'm allowed to talk about it now because it's finally Friday, is Call of Duty 4.
I'm jealous. I'm so mad. I want to play it so badly.
Now, I'm kind of surprised how much I like it, actually.
Yeah, I'm surprised. When you said that, like, it's the best thing ever and I'm going to go play it for another 4 hours while you had BioShock, I was really surprised.
Yeah, that was impressive.
I played Call of Duty 4
for a long time when I could have been playing BioShock.
So, tell me, like, what is it about this game's multiplayer that makes it so good to, like something like Halo or even Call of Duty 2's multiplayer?
Because it really puts an emphasis on personal achievement.
Explain.
And not just like I'm going to kill people and I'm going to get points. Because when you kill people or when you win a match or, you know, on your team or whatever, you get points that go towards your rank. Kind of like, you know, Halo 3 beta did it. Halo 2 might have done too. I didn't play too much of that. But when your rank goes up, it's not just, you know, a thing people can see. It's not just for play, you know, like rank matching or whatever. When you, like, your rank goes up, you get new classes. So, like, you know, for instance, like, your normal classes, you get, you know, like, a guy with an assault rifle, like, a guy with, you know, rocket launcher. But you can unlock, like, the sniper, you know, grenade launcher, stuff like that. You also unlock, like, custom class options where you can make your own class, you can name them, and then you can give them, you know, whatever weapons you want, whatever powers and stuff you want, like you know, like, it's easier to aim when you're not in, like, the down-the-scope sight, stuff like that. And, you know, all that, you get better stuff the higher your rank is. You even unlock some game modes by getting a high rank.
That's cool.
Capture the territory, almost Battlefield kind of style, but on a smaller scale. You don't get that until you're, like, rank 9 or whatever.
Nice.
But then, even, like, another cool thing is if you go on, like, kill streaks, you get certain things. And, I mean, this is really good for team play, too. Because, I mean, it's like, it's, you know, it's encouraging you to work as a team, but encouraging you to, you know, do well yourself. Because if you kill 3 people without dying, you get to activate a better radar. Which, instead of, like, the sound, you know, based radar that was in all the Call of Duty games, it's like you can actually see where the people are. Mm-hmm. And that, like, it's activated for, like, 30 seconds or something like that. If you get 5 people killed in a row, then you can call in an airstrike. You actually get to pick on the map where you want that strike to come, and if anyone's near that, they'll die. And then if you get 7, you can call in a helicopter that will just, you know, shoot all the enemies it sees. I mean, I don't know if there's anything beyond that, but that's what I saw.
Wow. Yeah. Like, how's, like, just, like, the basic shooter gameplay mechanic of it? Does it feel good?
Yeah, it feels. I played Call of Duty 2. I didn't play Call of Duty 3. It feels a lot like Call of Duty 2, which is a compliment.
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, I played Call of Duty 2.
Right, it's very precise. It's a very pretty game right now. I mean, some things, like, the draw distance isn't spectacular yet. Some of the textures aren't, you know, there. It's beta.
It's beta, yeah. Because, I mean, like, when they showed that video at E3, and that guy came out of the grass, like, I did not even know he was there. And apparently, there's no trickery going on. He actually is camouflaging with their grass texture.
Right.
And, I mean, that's, like, it has, like, the motion blur and depth of field and everything.
Yeah. I wasn't paying too much attention to the more subtle effects.
I understand.
Busy shooting people.
Right.
But there's, like, at least 3 maps. Pretty good maps, too.
That's good.
Like, one of them, there's, like, no rooftops or anything, so sniping's out. It's more close encounters. You know, other ones encourage rooftops. Then there's, like, another one that has, like, a lot of, like, grass and stuff to hide in. So, you know, there's a lot of variety. It's just a really solid multiplayer experience.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'll get my beta invite soon, because I want to play it so badly.
I'm surprised how much I like it. I'm glad I get to play this.
That's good.
I might probably play more after this.
Well, I haven't been playing anything nearly that exciting. I did I got into I because I have a File Planet subscription, which I basically call my beta subscription because that's all I use it for. I got into the beta for Company of Heroes: Opposing Fronts, and I know you. I don't think you played it, but a lot of people.
I never played it.
A lot of
I
people,
know
myself
very
included,
good.
Really like Company of Heroes because it was like completely like redefined the RTS formula into something I like because it put emphasis on like battling and less about like resource gathering. But I installed the beta, and it won't run, so I didn't actually get to play it.
What'd you bring it up for, then?
I just wanted to, I don't know, you had the Call of Duty 4 beta. I wanted something fun sounding.
It's not our weekend installing. It's our weekend gaming.
Okay, fine. Well, I played some World of
Warcraft.
You had
to play something. You Draenei?
Yeah, I'm a Draenei hunter. I just hit level 34.
Oh,
this
God,
is,
I don't
this
want
is
to
my
hear
second
about World of
character. Because I have a level 50-something... Orc Shaman.
Wait, what level would you get him to?
54?
No, this new guy.
34.
I had no idea this character was that high level.
Oh, yeah. I've been using... I found a leveling guide, actually, that just kind of, like, shows you which quest it takes so that you're constantly doing stuff and there's no downtime. And okay. It's been pretty helpful. Because I want to go to Outland. That's all. Because everyone's like, oh, Outland's so great. It's so much better than the other stuff. And I've been playing this game since launch. And I don't even have a character that's 60. Yeah, I mean, on and off. I mean, with this Draenei character, if you hit, like, the playtime thing, it's something like 2.5 days of straight play. I don't know how you don't get a 60 yet, but I don't know.
All right, well, not that World of Warcraft isn't fascinating and, you know, relevant. But the other game I played a little bit of Super Metroid.
Oh.
On the Virtual Console.
Yeah, we'll get into that later, but I know you like that game a lot.
Whenever I get asked my top five, I usually give it number two. Like, top five all the time, you know?
Yes.
So, I really like Super Metroid. I only played it one time because, you know, then Bioshock came out. Which, by the way, Bioshock has a lot of Super Metroid kind of themes in it.
Well, it's all the upgrading yourself and just,
right.
too, like, I mean, both of those games.
Not
again,
to the extent.
The atmosphere and the ambiance that both games present.
Right. Actually, Bioshock doesn't have very many areas that, like, are restricted to you, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about Bioshock more, God.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
Yeah, I played a little Super Metroid. It still holds up very well after all these years. I love that game.
I can't believe that hasn't come to, like, DS or GBA as a remake yet. That seems like a license to print
time.
Even more money.
Wasn't there talks of, like, a game called Metroid Dread at one point?
Yeah,
that was gonna be, like,
it's supposed
a 2D...
to be a 2D... yeah, that's what they need, is a 2D DS Metroid game, because Metroid Prime Hunter's not that good.
No, not really.
You can see, the only other things really I've been playing this week is I played a bunch of the new demos that come out on the 360.
Eternal Sonata?
I played that demo actually a while ago because it came out on the Japanese Xbox Live Marketplace, and I have a Japanese gamer tag. So I downloaded that.
Not allowed to do that.
Shh. Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
But,
oh, man, you're a rebel, Ash.
Oh,
God.
Man, I'm crazy. But if you downloaded it from the Japanese store, then logged in with your American account, it would, like, the game would boot into English mode, and I presume it's the same demo. But it's interesting because, like, the gameplay mechanic itself for it, I'll talk about it since it just came out, but the gameplay mechanic for it, like, you play it like it's a button-mashing real-time action RPG, but it's wrapped in this weird veneer of being turn-based, because as soon as you start moving, a meter starts draining, and as long as there's still stuff left in that meter, you can keep doing whatever you want. And then it's also kind of neat, because every battlefield has, you know, shadows on it from the trees and whatnot around you. Your attacks that are mapped to the four face buttons change depending on whether you're in light or shadow. So, and then the enemies can also change, too. They'll even change, like, their complete physical appearance. So that's a kind of neat mechanic. I mean, people have criticized it for its graphics. I actually think they're kind of nice. I mean, they're simple, but it's
nice. You
know
what game has bad graphics, I think?
What's that?
Okay, maybe bad art style, let's be fair.
What's that?
But Blue Dragon. I do not... I cannot get into that game at all.
You are in a minority there, because that is...
Why?
That's a very pretty game.
It is not!
I think
it's retarded looking.
The characters are a little bland. A little bland. But the environments are awesome.
And it's not because they look like Dragon Ball Z characters. You know, I like that art style fine. But just these specific character designs are horrible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Those characters themselves,
there's like
not that good.
There's that yellow Mog thing or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
why
not
does
a Mog.
Every creature in an anime that looks like this have to have some annoying voice so I talk like this? I mean, we got to listen to this guy for 50 hours. Can't we, like, have something pleasant at least?
Don't they understand we don't like that?
Yeah.
Not even our kids here.
I don't think
here.
They do understand that.
No, they don't. No, like, someone has to tell them.
Maybe we should do it. Hey, guys, if you're listening, we don't like that voice. Stop it. Seriously, our ears hurt.
Oh, boy. So, you have any other demands, Edge guy?
Oh, I'll think of them eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, well, enough about JRPGs, because if you like JRPGs, you didn't buy an Xbox for it. We do have the demo that was delayed, but finally came out, of EA's Skate. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, I like appreciate that they're trying to do a more realistic representation of skateboarding. And I think basically the reason I have such a hard time in this game is because I'm so used to playing Tony Hawk. Because, like, when you're playing this game, just to do, like, an ollie, you need to hit down on the right stick so you could, like, crouch down. And then you need to flick it up so that you actually jump. And so you need to give yourself a lot more time than you think you need to, like, ollie up onto a rail to grind it or something like that. You're just crashing a lot.
Well, makes sense, though. Because I remember...
It's just different.
I really liked the Tony Hawk games for a while.
I did, too, until, like, four. That's why I came up on it.
Right. That was, like, my only exposure to skating. So, you know, I was always, you know, I was playing that game. I was pulling off, you know, like, 2 900s, and then I would grind onto, like, a cow or something. You know, crazy stuff like that. And then, like, one time, like, me and Chris, you know, we're, like, my other brother, we're like, oh, man, let's get some skating videos and let's watch it. It's awesome. We watch it. It's not like Tony Hawk at all.
Oh, no.
They do an ollie, and they pat themselves on the back.
Yeah,
so, like, I can understand this approach that EA is going with.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are going to like it. And, I mean, I think if I spend more time with it, I'll get more used to it. Because the other thing the game does is the camera is a lot lower so that you actually see the board more than your guy. Because, I mean, that's kind of what this game is focused on. But the one thing I don't like is it's very loose as you turn. So, like, you could be actually aimed a little bit off to the left or right, and the camera isn't exactly behind you. And it makes, like, because you need to, like, if you're going to, like, grind on a rail, you need to, like, it's not like the magnetic skateboards of Tony Hawk that just, like, attach to a grinding surface. You need to actually land on that rail. And because the camera doesn't precisely stay in the line you're traveling, it makes it a little hard to kind of line up your tricks like that. But yeah, maybe that's something you just get used to the more you play it.
Okay, enough of Skate.
Yeah. I also played the Stranglehold demo. This came out, I think, actually 2 weeks ago, but because
you
I didn't
sure
get my
Xbox last
week.
You sure did play a lot of demos.
Week. There was a lot of them released also, and it was weird, but hey, they're free. That's why I play them. I actually like Stranglehold a lot, though, because I was a big fan of Max Payne when it came out. Did you play that much?
Max Payne? Yeah, I loved the first Max Payne. I didn't play the second one at all, but...
Yeah,
it was great.
I actually have the second one, but I never played it. I got it for $3. I just haven't played it yet on the original Xbox. Maybe someday I'll pull that out. But, I mean, this game just takes that Max Payne formula that they ripped off from Hard Boiled in the first place and then just took it to the next level. Because, like, you got the basic dive forward and you go into bullet time, or as they call it in this game, tequila time. But then, like, any time you're doing something cool, you get down to this tequila time. You could, like... you could run up a railing for, like, stairs and, like, shoot guys as you're running up the railing, or you can grind going down it. Anytime you walk into a low counter surface, instead of, like, just walk into and getting stuck, he'll automatically kind of jump up and slide across it, which is cool because you don't get stuck in the environment, and then that also activates the tequila time. Then you can do things like you can dive onto a cart, and then the cart will roll under your momentum, and you can shoot guys as you're rolling around this cart, and, like, jump off and kick off a wall and shoot more guys. And basically, I mean, you're just shooting a lot of stuff, but it's just really stylish. And
are you still mad at me for not downloading it?
Yeah, because I told you to, and you jerk. It also does this thing.
I don't care.
I'm trying to think what they have the name for it. Standoffs or something. It's like that cheesy thing that happens in an action movie where, like, six guys surround the bat, like, your hero. They all have guns on him, and somehow he survives this gunfight.
Right.
And what happens is the whole thing's in slow-mo. You have to shoot these guys one at a time. The camera will switch after you shoot the one. You can also, with the left stick, kind of control which way tequila's leaning. You can actually dodge bullets. It's very exciting. So, and basically, you're just trying to, like, shoot. But for some reason, there's propane tanks everywhere. Like, there must have been a surplus of propane tanks that year.
I guess they ran out of exploding barrels.
Oh, the tie into the title, finally. I was wondering when that was going to happen.
All right.
And I downloaded the Blazing Angels 2 demo. I haven't gotten to play it yet, though.
Okay,
but I liked the demo for the first one. I didn't get the game. A lot of people didn't seem to think it was that good. And
I think I'm cutting you off on demos.
Yeah, I think that's all the demos I've played. Don't worry.
All right. Well, it was a fun week in demos. Okay, now we're going to get to the part of the podcast where I talk about my adventures through Final Fantasy.
Oh, yes. Now,
Wait.
Go ahead.
Wait, pause for whimsical music entrance.
Oh.
Okay. And. And. Okay.
Okay. You know, you don't have to pause. I can add pauses later.
Okay. Should we pause to edit that? Pause for editing.
No. You don't have to pause anyway. I'm going to leave that in. That's fun. So I just want to give this a little bit of a preamble before he goes off on this. We have both been knocking away at Final Fantasy games for the last 10 years. Each of us played a bunch of Final Fantasy VI. We played a bit of Final Fantasy VII. Dabbled with VIII. Didn't really play IX.
I played
Final Fantasy X. Well, you played it later. Final Fantasy X came along. I actually played that a lot. I was probably about 45 minutes from beating the game when I actually lost the game. And never found it, and never bothered repurchasing it. Then Final Fantasy XI came out, which was an MMORPG that I played for a little while that no one cared about. Well, people care about it, we don't. Then Final Fantasy XII came out. And I receive a phone call from Mike telling me, basically, just trust me, go buy this game. I did. We both play it. We both agree it's awesome. And then one day... Go ahead.
One day, in one of the more glorious moments of my life... I beat Final Fantasy XII, meaning after my long lifetime career of being a gamer, I had finally beaten a freaking Final Fantasy game.
Which I still have not done.
No. And I bragged about this for at least the next 2 months. I was just giddy. I was being as obnoxious as possible.
Yes.
But, so, you know, I was all high on myself, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm the Final Fantasy master. Then, you know, I started thinking about it. I kind of was tossing and turning at night, you know? I was like, I'm a false king. I've only ever beaten the newest Final Fantasy. I was just feeling kind of bad about it. I mean, I was being pretty obnoxious about beating the Final Fantasy game. But then we were moving you out, AJ. Guy. And I stumbled across your old copy of Final Fantasy 1 and 2 Dawn of Souls for Game Boy Advance. Which is, you know, that compilation of Final Fantasy 1 and 2. So I just saw it, and I'm like, hey, you mind if I take this? And you're like, whatever.
You just took it. You didn't ask me.
I'm pretty sure I asked you.
Moving on.
So then I take it home, and I don't even know why I wanted to play this game. I started playing Final Fantasy 1 a couple times before. I never lasted more than 5 minutes, but I started playing it, and like within 3 days, I beat it. Then I'm like, maybe I'll play Final Fantasy 2. And about halfway through 2, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to beat them all. And that is my quest, and that is my promise to you, Edge Guy, to all of our listeners. That's my promise to America.
So
I will, by the end of 2008 at least, beat every Final Fantasy. Not counting 12, which I've already beaten, not counting 11 because it doesn't count.
Now, let me ask you these questions. I just want to see how deep this goes.
No spinoffs.
No 10-2.
No 10-2.
No Final Fantasy Tactics.
I'm going to play that just because I want to.
What about, Tactics Advance?
Yeah, I'll play that. No, wait. I'll play the sequel. I'm not going to play Tactics Advance 1 again.
Okay.
I already played that one enough.
So this is just the core Final Fantasy games, minus 11, because you can't beat that.
It's pretty much 1 through 10.
Okay. You're on a journey.
Yes, I am.
So you did beat Final Fantasy III on the DS.
Right. I just want to talk about... I'm towards the end of 4 right now. That's where I am right now.
Right.
I've been on this for maybe a bit more than a month. So I just want to talk about 1, 2, and 3 very quickly a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, Final Fantasy 1, you know, it's pretty, pretty basic. It's kind of interesting because, like, when you think of Final Fantasy, what do you think of? What is Final Fantasy known for?
It's got the crazy stories, the characters, the music, the graphics.
Right. The first thing you said is story. It has presentation up the wazoo. There's pretty much none of that in Final Fantasy 1. like, the story that is there, too, is, like, this very confusing thing about, like, time travel and, like...
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Paradox. Not paradox. What's
paradox.
The word? Paradox.
Paradox.
What's a paradox?
Paradigm.
Paradigm. But, yeah, so it's very weird. But it's fun because you get to pick what kind of characters you want. So there's, you know, there's actually some variety there. And it's not too... They don't make it too hard, which is good. So Final Fantasy 1, you know, it's fun. It took 12 hours to beat. Final Fantasy 2, that... It gets criticized a lot.
It does. Because... Didn't you have to, like, hit your own guys to level up?
No, you don't, but you could. It has a different leveling system. You don't have, like... You don't just get EXP. How it works is you level up all your different attributes and spells, like, separately, depending on how much you use them.
So kind of like what Oblivion did?
Maybe. But, like... Yeah, kind of, except, you know, it's all random bounce, so it's a bit harder. And, like, right. you do consciously have to be like, okay, I gotta attack more this time to get my attack up. I have to use this spell a lot to get this spell up, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was slightly more annoying, slightly more frustrating. But there was a lot about 2 that I liked. Because even over 1, it had a much better story. There was a story there. It was slightly derivative. I mean, you know, it was very, you know, bad empire... And here are the rebels. We're going to, you know, destroy them. Very Star Wars-esque. But it was a story. There were characters, and I kind of appreciated that.
Okay.
I'll tell you another thing that's crazy about 2. So many characters die.
Really?
Yeah. You think, like, you know, Ares dying, Final Fantasy VII, oh, that's such a big deal. No, they did it years before. Almost every playable character except for, like, these 3 guys die.
Interesting.
Yes. So then I got to 3. And I played the DS version of that, which, you know, is slightly prettier,
version.
But right. Well, here
for America, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Which, and I mean, it's prettier, but I mean, it's still an NES game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it has the job system, so you get to pick certain jobs. It's kind of like Final Fantasy 1, except, you know, you can change it on the fly. There's more options and stuff
that's
cool. Right, but Final Fantasy 3, for whatever reason, was much, much harder than 1 and 2.
Why is that?
Well, 1 and 2, I never got a game over screen once. I probably got it, like, a couple dozen times in 3.
Is it just, like, hard bosses, or what was
Well, in 1 and 2, I mean, maybe this wasn't like this in the NES versions of those games. Maybe it was GIMPed or whatever for the Game Boy Advance. But you can save wherever you want.
Okay.
So, anytime before a boss fight, you know, you just save. If you die, you can just go do it again. Even then, I didn't have a problem usually most of the time. But in 3, the only place you can save is in the overworld. So you'll go through a dungeon, and there's no save points in the dungeons either. So you go through a dungeon, it takes you like an hour.
So wait, you mean they got rid of like even like a little sparkling thing of light?
Yeah, there's no like save points in a dungeon.
Oh, that's cruel.
Yeah, so you get in a dungeon, you're there for like an hour, you get to the boss, he beats you, so then you're like, well, now I gotta go spend, you know, an hour leveling up, then I gotta go through the dungeon again. And another thing I didn't like about it, you know, you can change your jobs and whatnot. And it's like, oh, it's variety. But, like, a lot of times it was like, oh, you need someone to be this job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of... took away a bit of freedom there in that way. But all in all, 3, it was harder, which I didn't really appreciate.
Like, it wasn't, the good kind of harder?
Well, you know what? I've always never quite understood people's obsessions with games being hard.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I'd like to... That's why it's a game. I like to be able to play it and... have fun with it.
Right.
Don't worry about, oh, it's so challenging.
The people were complaining about that in Bioshock, even. You know what? I mean, I can understand a little bit in Bioshock, because it's a little cheap, but you can die when you're fighting Big Daddy and just go back and, you know, finish him off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't bother me too much. A lot of my favorite games ever, like Wind Waker and Kingdom Hearts 2, they get criticized heavily for being too easy. It never really bothered me. But, like, I mean, the final dungeon... You know how Final Fantasy games are. There's like 20 bosses you have to fight in a row,
a huge dungeon. Yeah.
Well, you can't save anywhere in there, so you just save outside. You go through this 4-hour sequence of events, and then you die when you get to the final boss.
Fun.
Yeah, no, it's not.
This is what we call good game design.
And then...
In 1988, but go ahead.
And then the story, it was much more like 1. The story was very vague, sort of like, oh, we're going to save the world, and we're going to collect these things, and... You know, go here, get this thing, go here, stop that person. 2 had a better story than 3 did. Okay, so 3 is probably my least favorite so far.
I was going to say, it sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, which is weird. But, so now I'm on 4. I won't talk about 4 this week. I'll talk about 4 next week because I'll probably beat it by then. 4 is good, though. I'll say that.
I did play. I played through a bunch of 4. It's probably the furthest I've ever gotten in one aside from 10. Maybe 6, okay. I think I've gotten further. But yeah, that is good.
Save that for next week, though.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. It for my Adventures in Final Fantasy this week.
Well done.
Thank you. It's a hard and grueling road.
Mm. But you're there to do it.
Well, yeah.
You brave, someone's brave got soul.
No, I just got a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, I think you're going to talk about the week's downloadable games.
Yes, we have the download releases of the week. Because we are recording this conveniently on a Thursday after everything gets released, we can talk about it.
All right.
So we'll just go first? Chronologically, and off we go. So Monday, we have our Wii Virtual Console releases that happen every Monday. The right. big one that we all knew was coming, everyone was excited about, you talked about already, Super Metroid.
One of the best games ever made.
Indeed. It's probably my favorite Super Nintendo game.
It is.
And probably one of the best games of the 16-bit generation. And just, I mean, it's fantastic. I haven't downloaded it yet.
Nah. Easily.
Because I'm playing Bioshock. Once I know Bioshock, right. I'll cough up the $8 or whatever.
Easily the best final boss fight. Or boss fight in general in a game ever.
Except that you haven't played Metroid Prime. That was a pretty good final boss.
No, I played Metroid Prime. I didn't beat Metroid Prime. Okay, get your facts straight.
Yeah,
thanks for bringing that up. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yep, you're welcome. So, Super Metroid, I mean, honestly, if you played it, if you haven't played it, download this game. Unless you're playing Bioshock, beat Bioshock, then download this game like I'm going to do.
There's no reason to not eventually add Super Metroid to your virtual console list.
Yeah. Just for the sake of tradition of having 3 games, I guess Nintendo decided to release 2 other ones also this week.
Wait, why don't we Shinobi 3?
Okay, Shinobi 3's fine, but compared to Super Metroid, it's...
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, what, you're going to complain because they're giving you more stuff?
Yeah, you're right. Shinobi 3 came out in the Genesis, fun game.
You're a ninja.
I mean, any game ninjas where you're a ninja is automatically a little bit cooler. Hard, but, you know, I mean, like, that's that classic 16-bit hardcore platformer. Good times.
Okay.
And then our third game, I've never heard of it, Newtopia for the TurboGrafx.
Is it another side-scrolling shooter?
Probably. Here, I'll read the official description, because I don't know what this game is.
I hope it's not too long.
In this action role-playing game, there you go.
Action
you take control of a brave boy who sets off on a journey to rescue the kidnapped princess and reclaim the
It sounds like it's Zelda!
It is!
It's Legend of Zelda! What are you talking about?
Okay, well, yeah, solve puzzles, avoid traps, move blocks, and destroy walls.
It's Legend of Zelda!
Wow, I have to check this out now. With a save function, the right difficulty level, and a system that doesn't include experience points, this is truly an RPG that anyone can enjoy.
It's Legend Zelda. Of Zelda!
I should read these before.
You could put that on the back of the box, the original Legend of Zelda, and there'd be nothing wrong with it.
That's pretty incredible. Wow, I kind of want to know what this game's like now. Maybe we should.
I'm not
going to
pay
out.
Money for it.
Yeah.
I'll go Wikipedia it or something.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what you got on your Wii Virtual Console. Moving to Wednesday on the Xbox Live Arcade, we had two pretty decent releases. Nothing great, but decent, I'll say. The first one was the highly awaited Jeff Minter project Space Giraffe.
Wait, that came out?
Yeah. Have you ever played Tempest?
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't think I've ever played Tempest. This is like Tempest, apparently.
Okay.
You play this game. You got your. I don't know why they call it a giraffe. It looks like a tripod, but you got this thing. And it's very trippy graphics, a lot of particle effects and vector-like graphics. You move along the bottom. It's kind of like Space Invaders. You got stuff coming towards you. You use the right stick to shoot, and you can aim it off to the side to a limited degree. It's not like full-on like Geometry Wars. And then you can squeeze the trigger to jump off the baseline, because if guys get down to the baseline, they stay there. So you have to like either jump over them and shoot them from the air, or if you get to the power zone, you can just crash into them and knock them off. And then the stages, like, they start off just like a flat row, but then it'll become like a tube, or like it's like a big, like a wave or something like that. And it's just very trippy, but I mean, it's kind of got that Geometry Wars appeal to it, where you can just kind of zone out and just kind of play it for a while.
Okay.
So, I mean, the advantage with the Xbox Live Arcade is, of course, you could try the demo. So, I mean, definitely check that one out.
Yeah, I have to try the demo.
Yeah, you got to write about it, so.
Right, I play every week on my column at 411 Games, the Full Circle 360 News Report.
This is a plug.
This is a plug. Wait a second, not done. Every week I play through all the demos on Xbox Live Arcade. And I tell you, if you should try it, buy it, or ignore it.
Yep.
Well, here's haven't one. Been too many buy it yet.
No. Well, have you played this one? This is I've never even heard of this game. Apparently, it's an indie developed game called Street Trace New York City.
No, never heard of this.
I hadn't either, but it's actually surprisingly neat. It is it's a hoverboard racing game, but there's also arena battles that kind of play out like a scaled down version of Twisted Metal. But it's actually got some pretty decent controls. You can like grind and stuff to like move around the environment in like neat ways, and it's surprisingly fun. It's nothing too complicated, but I don't know if it's $10 good. If it's $5, I might get it. But again, try the demo, see what you think. Not bad.
Okay.
So now we got the PlayStation Network.
Oh, PlayStation Network.
Oh yeah, because quality games come out every week. Like this week, we have nothing.
You're such a hater.
I know.
Why do you have to be such a hater?
Because there's nothing.
There's nothing on the 360 sometimes.
Yeah, I think that happened like 3 times.
Yeah, I remember. And every time it happened, it was like the internet exploded. Like, oh my
god,
there
were like JPEGs.
It's Wednesday
and
there's no game.
Yeah, like on the chalkboard. And so I was like, oh, get over it. Well, okay, so the PSN's got nothing. People are still playing Super Stardust HD. And then finally, we have my good friend, GameTap. Which you are not on the bandwagon of just yet, right?
No, I'm not on GameTap.
I love GameTap.
If anything was going to get me into GameTap, it was going to be those Sam and Max things. I
which
didn't like them.
Which are fantastic. They're
did
so
not
good.
Like them.
Well, that's something else I should have said for playing this week. I finally beat episode season 1 of Sam and Max. Episode 6 I finished.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah. It's good, everybody. Try it. I mean, you can get a free 10-day trial of GameTap and try it.
Yeah.
Or you could do the free account. But anyway, the new releases on GameTap this week. We got they're finishing up. They did all throughout the summer. They released new fighting games for GameTap, and so this week we have Garou: Mark of the Wolves. It's an old Neo Geo Fatal Fury game. Got King of Fighters 2003 on the Neo Geo. I was never really a King of Fighters connoisseur. I was a Street Fighter guy. Apparently 2002 was kind of the good one. 03 was a little bit of a backstep for the series, but if you got a GameTap subscription, it's free, so it doesn't matter. Jaws Unleashed for the PC. Do you remember this game?
I played a little bit of it. It was mildly amusing.
Yeah, I mean, it's made from the guys who made Echo for the Dreamcast, which was a cool game. You're a shark who eats scientists and gets key cards to open doors.
It was very okay.
Yeah, I mean... It wasn't actually supposed to be Jaws. It was just a shark game, and then they got the license.
Well, you may as well.
Yeah. They got Atlantis Evolution, the sequel to some Atlantis Myst ripoff game that's on GameTap. We've got Enemy Engage 2. I've never heard of it. PC game. And then there's a game called Beach Life, which is a PC game. It's kind of like... It's one of the, like, tycoon games, but it's a beach.
Okay.
So there you have it. That's our downloads for the week.
All right. Now... We're going to talk about the upcoming console and PC portable game releases starting on Monday.
Monday,
and looks like the big one is Metroid Prime 3 Corruption.
Woo!
Yeah,
I'm playing
August
Bioshock
27th. I'm not as excited as I should be, which is weird. Like, because I think Metroid Prime 1 is one of the best games ever made.
Yes. Pretty
2 was fine. I don't know. I didn't get into it. But I don't know why. I just can't.
I know why you don't care. And it's because you saw that video of the first couple minutes of the game, and it's Halo.
I hope it's not Halo.
That's what it looks like.
I mean,
I don't like this game conceptually because it's breaking a lot of Metroid conventions. You've got characters that talk. It's more of a shooter and less about the exploration, the platforming. I mean, I'm going to rent it at least. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, traditionally, FPSs haven't been too good on the Wii so far. Hopefully,
we'll see.
You know, Nintendo will be able to pull it off. But if this game doesn't work, FPSs on the Wii are, like, dead.
Okay, well, Chris is getting it. I have to review it for 411, so I'm playing it.
All right.
And hopefully we'll see. Medieval 2, Total War Kingdoms. You ever play Medieval 2?
I played the demo for Medieval 2 when it came out. And it actually was neat. Because, like, I just like the scale of the game, like you like the way you can like zoom in and watch these guys one on one fighting. And there was one sequence in the demo that I really enjoyed, where like I got the enemies to rout. So like the last little group of soldiers from the enemy were running through a forest. So I just took my cavalry battalion and just sent them charging after them. And I pulled down the camera real close to, like, be right with the horses running. This pretty cool music was playing. And all of a sudden, they just overtook these guys and just annihilated them. It was just kind of like a neat moment.
Okay.
But, like, those games, they're pretty hardcore. And, like, I like RTSs and concept, but I'm not very good at them. So I've just kind of been scared of that series.
All right. Moving on. Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Heck yeah. Give it to me, please. I'm excited.
Xbox 360 and PS3, August 29th.
Well, it comes out. It's Wednesday on the Xbox and Thursday on the PS. And
okay,
network.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
How much is it going to cost?
$10 on each system. 800 Microsoft points or 10 US dollars.
Okay, that's okay. It's a puzzle game. It's supposed to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Try the demo. Okay, Stranglehold, you talked about that. That's August 27th.
No, it didn't it get pushed? Just today, in fact, it got pushed back to September 5th.
What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, they just announced that today.
Just announced it today?
Yeah, God. September 5th for the 360 and PS3, and something like September 12th for the PS3 version.
Well, it's a good thing you're here.
Yep.
For this kind of thing. What? There's another Guild Wars expansion?
Yeah, this one...
Eye of the North.
This one is actually...
August 28th.
Unlike the other two expansions, this one is geared specifically for people who have level 20 characters in the game.
Okay.
And it takes place in, like, the original continent. And it's going to do some stuff that's going to lead into the eventual Guild Wars 2.
Okay.
If you're a hardcore Guild Wars player, this interests you. If not, nothing to see here. But check out Guild Wars, because Guild Wars itself is a pretty cool game.
Didn't Guild Wars just pass some landmark of...
4 million players.
Players. Interesting.
Yep.
Surprising. August 28th, Xbox 360, Blue Dragon, which I don't have any interest in myself.
I won't be getting it. I think it's neat, and I think people who like JRPGs will enjoy it. I kind of don't like JRPGs anymore. I think they've just kind of hit this plateau.
But I'm busy with JRPGs.
Yeah,
at the moment.
I mean, you're at least playing the good ones. I mean, I like its battle system, the way how you can, like, decide how long you want to charge your attacks. It brings in a little more strategy than, like, Dragon Quest or something like that. But, I mean, you already know if you're going to like this game or not.
PS3, August 28th, Warhawk.
I'm excited. I don't know if I'm going to be getting it right away, just because I have a lot of stuff I'm playing. But, like, I played the beta. I like the beta. And, I mean, I already have a Bluetooth headset, so I'd just be downloading it.
Right. This is a pretty big release for PS3, finally.
Yeah, it's they have not had many games come out in the last couple of months.
See, you're hating again. Why you gotta be hating?
It's true.
You're hating.
Yeah,
well, you think there's a drought of PSP games?
Yeah.
Well, not anymore, because here comes Naruto Ultima... Oh, wait, Ultimate Ninja Heroes.
Oh, hallelujah.
August 28th. It's a fighting game. You know, one time when I was waiting to get my Wii inside of EB Games, they had some Naruto fighting game on the GameCube. It was kind of fun.
Probably was like Dragon Ball Z, Budokai, Tenkaichi, Hurumagi, whatever.
No, it was easier than that. But
okay.
So we're giving Naruto way too many time.
Yeah.
Way too much time.
Kids, it's Naruto. You love Naruto. Go buy it.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, PGA Tour 08 for 360, Wii, PS3, PS2, PSP, and DS. I didn't know there was a DS version of this.
Tiger Woo! I likes me some Tiger Wood.
I like those 06. I didn't play much of those 07.
I like those 07 because it, like, wasn't ridiculously easy anymore. Like, you didn't know exactly where your ball was going to land.
See, I like that about 06.
But... 06 had that problem too, where, like, if you hit like a iron shot from like a 9 or 8 outside the green, the camera, like, looked straight up and you didn't know what kind of spin to put on your ball. I think they mostly fixed that in 07, but it still crop up. I'm just excited. 08 lets you do what Rainbow Six Vegas did, where you take just a picture of the front and side of your face and just generates your face in the game.
Okay. Stuntman Ignition, Xbox 360, PS2, August 28th.
That is a cool... Check out that
demo
on the 360.
The demo was sweet, yeah. Demo was really cool.
That game came out of nowhere for me. It's actually a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. MotoGP 07, Xbox 360, August 27th.
Meh.
Meh, yeah. Wild Arms 5 for the PS2. I didn't know they were making a fifth Wild Arms.
I didn't know there was a fourth one.
Yeah, there's a lot of these.
Yeah.
Western...
Again, JRPG. If you like it, go play it.
Monster Hunter Freedom 2 for the PSP, August 28th.
Why does this game have online play? If it had online play, it'd be the best thing ever on the PSP, like, hands down. Do you know much about this series?
I remember there was an anime.
It's basically Phantasy Star Online with dinosaurs.
Okay.
And without the online. Like, it has ad hoc, so, like, you could play local Wi-Fi, but there's no internet play. And if it had internet play, it'd be awesome. Because apparently this is the most popular game series in Japan. Like, Monster Hunter,
I guess it sold
was
pretty
the
well.
Biggest selling game in Japan. And a PSP game. It outsold DS games.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Another series that's popular in Japan, not so much here, Dynasty Warriors Gundam.
I Xbox played that demo on PS3. The PS3 to completion, and I don't know why. But
well,
it's just like every other Dynasty Warriors game, only this time you could sometimes shoot a gun.
Well, August 28th, if you care about that. And last, but not least, Carnival Games for the Wii, August 27th.
The hell is that?
I have no idea. It's probably horrible.
Probably a minigame collection. Go figure.
Why you gotta be hating?
Again, isn't it true?
No, it's not true.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, I think we need to bring it home.
Oh, boy.
This has gone on longer than I thought, and I'm worried my computer is going to crash at any second.
I know, I've been, like, nervous the whole time. I think we're good.
Okay. Well, we are... I guess we're kind of done for this week.
Yes, the barrel has exploded.
That's not going to become a thing. We're not saying that at the end of every podcast, God.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm probably going to play some Call of Duty. Maybe... No, I'm going to wait till tomorrow night to play Bioshock.
I'm going to edit this.
Yeah, do that.
I just want to remind the listeners, if you somehow just stumbled onto this from either the iTunes Music Store, or maybe you picked this up from 411 if you're reading Mike's articles, we have a blog. If you go to explodingbarrel.wordpress.com, you can get show notes for every show, and Mike and I will be just posting every so often on there, so be sure to check that out. And
Is it really 411? I don't understand the reference. Do I sound like an idiot when I say 411?
No, it's. I always say 411. You know, what's the 411?
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of plugging, check out 411.com/games. I post my 360 article on there. I post reviews and stuff too. Hopefully, we'll become more officially affiliated with them soon. Haven't really been able to talk to the higher ups there about this yet. This will be a nice surprise for them.
Didn't you want to say 411mania.com/games?
Oh, what did I say?
Just 411.com.
Okay, listen, everyone. It's http://www.411mania.com/games.
That is the correct address.
Okay. That about does it for this week. If you have a... you know, send us an email if you have any questions, anything you want us to cover. Does that get posted on the website, AJ?
We'll post on there. You can go to the webpage. You can get our email address if you want to send us stuff. We'll have our Xbox Live gamer tags, our PSN accounts, our Steam community IDs. You guys want to drop us a line, play a game, whatever, send us word. Yeah. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm tokoto@gmail.com. He's adjguy@gmail.com.
It's adjguy711, actually.
Whatever.
Adjguy was taken.
I doubt that. So, have a good week, everyone. That's it, and join us next time for the Exploding Barrel. Cue the exit music.
Doo-doo.